super strong, supernatural, and super bad. His punch can topple a skyscraper. His kick can split the earth in two. More destructive than an earthquake, mightier than a tidal wave. A one-man disaster area.
42nd Street Pete.
Shot full of lead and he still ain't dead. Jump back, Jack, for your skull is cracked.
42nd Street Pete.
This is the Reverend 42P, and the Lord said to me, 42P, come forth. But I came fifth and was disqualified. So, anyway, I have to... You like that one, huh? So, yeah, I have to give a shout of thanks out to a bunch of people because my mother was hospitalized, and I've been sort of MIA here and there, but I decided to do this show because I got to do something to take my mind off some of this stuff, but... Thanks to Beverly, Ed, Ida, and everybody else out there. Julie, oh God, you had sent me some stuff. I really appreciate all your thoughts and well wishes and things. And I just saw her tonight. She looks a lot better, so hopefully things will straighten out. So again, my heartfelt thanks, and you guys are great friends and great fans, and I love you all. So we are here tonight at the Grindhouse with two special guests, and these gentlemen I met at a place called Genghis Khan out in Pittsburgh, I believe it was 2004, where we had some bloodbath wrestling and some other cool shit like that. But welcome Steve and Hugo from Digger Films to the Grindhouse. These gentlemen have just put together a great documentary called Under the Scares, and guys, tell us about it.
Hi, Pete. Under the Scares, it's a documentary that wanted to show exactly how the industry of the our business films works. Because it's a business like no other. Like, there's a lot of movies being put with sweat and blood and no money, but there is a business for that, and it's something amazing. And wanted to show people how everything was done.
Yeah. That's about it. It's everything about the horror industry in North America. I said, you go. About
yeah, North from America. Montreal to the United States. Yeah. We went all the way to New LA, went to New York, went to Ohio, Cleveland, Chicago. So we drove a lot for this documentary. We met a lot of people that have been working in this industry for a long time. People directing and producing movies ranging from $500 to a few millions, but in the end, it's all about passion.
Oh yeah, without a doubt. You basically have a who's who of indie filmmakers and some, you know, legit genre legends like Herschel Gordon Lewis, and I see you've just added Frank Henenlotter to the mix, Jimmy O, Mike Watt, Amy Lynn Best, all these, you know, people I know and I, you know, met over the years, and you know, with you guys, I've seen you like let's see, Genghis Khan, and then Monster Mania, Cinema Wasteland, and a couple other places I ain't allowed to, you know, be anymore. But what the hell?
I remember the place.
And we also had the chance to have Robert Kurtzman and Gary Jones in the documentary. That is pretty cool too, because those guys are. They made some mainstream films, and right now they're doing some indie films, you know, like The Rage and the last film that he produced, The Dead Matter, which is the first film of Midnight Syndicate film, Ed Douglas, who's still in the dark too, I mean.
And Kurtzman and Gary Jones, they worked on Evil Dead, which was a low budget that was put out with blood and tears and sweat with people very passionate. And today, some years later, I mean, they're living out of their art. I mean, they're doing very well. So, and there's a bunch of people that we interviewed throughout the 3 years process, and ranging from brand new filmmakers doing their first features to more established people like Gordon Herschel Lewis, that is a legend that invented the gore. He's the godfather of gore. I mean, we have Lloyd Kaufman also from Trauma Entertainment that directed and produced. Toxic Avenger, which is a classic, which is comedy horror. So we have a lot of people that we met throughout the producing of this documentary, and some we kept, some we had to cut out, but it's part of the deal. But we met a lot of people, and we've become friends with lots of them also.
And in the documentary, we also have somebody called, I don't know, 42nd Street Pete, something like that.
Oh yeah, that crazy bastard.
It always went in.
Oh, how much humidity did you leave in on that thing?
A bunch.
Oh yeah.
I don't. You're there. I mean, if you come next week for the premiere, you'll see yourself a bunch of time.
Oh great! That'll be the second time I actually saw myself on a big screen. Unconventional was the first.
Yep.
Yeah. I'm sure yours is a lot better though.
You'll tell us afterwards.
Yep. No, you know, I'm very impressed by what I saw because you know I'm looking through that whole thing and I'm like, oh my god, I actually make sense in this thing. And then I was watching so many other ones and it's like just the way it's put together with the trailer so far, it looks really cool. And I noticed that you're getting a lot of attention from some of the international websites as well with this.
Yeah, I mean, it's the point. I mean, being from Canada and doing this documentary, we met a lot of people, people that are close to the industry. And this industry lives because of the internet. I mean, there's a lot of website in France and in Germany and Europe, that in Asia also, that are doing reviews and posting trailers and stuff like that. And without the internet, this business would be a lot different than it is right now. So we managed to meet some cool people, and it's like you said in the documentary, it's all about rubbing shoulders. So we met people at the bar, and we made very good friends with them. So that's how we managed to try to get good exposure, meeting them, and also it's trying to put out something with quality in there. I mean, we want to show a good movie, something that looks well, that people will understand, and it's all about like learning something. So even if you're not a guru of the horror industry, I mean, you should be able to understand everything and learn something. And if you're a crazy, know-it-all movie classic, you should be able to learn stuff or have good memories of stuff that's been shot in the past.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. I mean, you know, without the low-budget stuff, where would it be? I mean, basically, it all started there. I mean, every big-budget thing going on today is a direct ripoff of something that already happened years ago. And, you know, at a lower budget, yet it made more sense than this new stuff that's coming out.
Yeah, and it's a lot. I mean, if you take a look at the studio films, it's all remakes. I mean, Days of the Dead, Dawn of the Dead, Halloween, Friday the 13th. I mean, they're all doing old stuff and putting it back on screen.
They're all bad movies.
They're bad movies, too.
Yeah, then you take, like, Amy Lynn Best and Mike Watt with that the Resurrection game they did and some of the other stuff. And, it's really good stuff if people give it a chance and sit down and watch it. You know, it's not glossily packaged like anything else. But, you know, you've got to get past, you know, the cover and read the book, you know, as people used to say.
What is cool about the internet is that you can discover some people, some films, like about everywhere, and just buy them and get them at your home. And before, you know, it was like impossible. And there's a segment in the documentary talking about the technology, what's the internet, the new camcorders and other stuff make for this business. And without the technology, you know, there will be no convention, no films, nothing, you know. So that's a cool segment in the documentary, I think.
Yeah, because back in the days when you wanted to shoot indie horror films, you needed like 500 grand to be able to do something decent. Nowadays, I mean, if you own the material, which is not that expensive, you can shoot something for like $50. So it's not a big deal. I mean, if you have a good idea and you know exactly what you're doing, I mean, you could do something very decent for not that much. I mean, Blair Witch didn't cost so much, and they made tons of money with that. So it's just about a good idea, good acting, and knowing where you're going at. So that's what is important in this industry.
That's true. Oh, you know, funny thing you say, because even with the digital technology today, I'm working with a group that is shooting in 16 and Super 8 on this film called Blood Wings.
Right now?
Yeah. They're doing it, you know, they do it till they run out of money, then they get some more money and they get some more film stock. But, you know, I don't like to get involved in some of this stuff because some of it's like really cheesy. But when I sat down and I read the script, and the director is Victor Bonacor. It's Chainsaw Kiss, that group. And I looked at this thing and I go, I honestly get this. And I said, I think I know what you want. Like, my original character originally had no lines. I'm just basically this, I'm some kind of satanic hitman or something. So I said, why don't you let me just do something with this a little bit? So he liked it. So we're like expanding on it. But it's really cool. And they're trying to get that really back alley grindhouse effect to it by using the old film stock.
And it shows, because when you're shooting on films, there's a textures that you don't necessarily get with HD. So the texture is different, and you got the look from the 70s and the 80s and the beginning of the 90s too. But I mean, if you don't have the money to shoot on films, there are other options. So, and it's available to mostly everyone, because we met a lot of people, and you know, Pete, you've done a lot of convention. There's a lot of crappy stuff out there.
No shit.
but they are like jewels.
You'll find a diamond in the rough, you know.
Yeah, and stuff that you say like, wow, you shot that with like nothing, just like arm sweat and stuff like that, and it's wow. It's good. It's entertaining, but you got crappy stuff. So it's an amalgam of a lot of things. This industry, it's weird. It's you have to be in it to understand, and that's why we wanted to show a little bit with share with the people that don't know what's happening, because it's weird. And the fans are awesome. I mean, They're always there for you. They won't mind if your pan is a bit sketchy, if the sound is not that good. They're very faithful. I mean, they don't have that much money, but they'll show up with $500 in their pocket, and they're there to buy indie films. So they're not there for major. They just want to see something through, something original, something with a lot of passion in it. I mean, they're always there, and convention after convention, you get to see all the same people. So when we go to Cinema Wasteland, year after year, you see mostly the same people coming back and buying more movies, and they'll even recognize you. Ah, yeah, I bought you a movie last year, and that wasn't necessarily a big movie or something that was meant to be remembered for so long, but the fan are there, and they remember you, and they're just happy to meet people and talk and know exactly how the movie went and how we shot and all. And so it's nice. It's a very friendly industry.
Yeah, you did send a copy out to Wasteland, did you?
Not yet.
No, next week I will send one.
Okay, because I'll tell Ken to look for it.
Because the screener of the documentary will be ready like on June 1st, so we're just like doing the premiere, and after I'm gonna start shipping screener, because the film is in sound mixing right now.
Yeah,
we're last minute, we know, but that's how it works.
Oh, so if you don't have it, what are you going to do? Show Three Stooges films?
No, it'll be done, but we'll probably get the copy next Thursday before we leave to New York.
Yeah.
So it's all about mixing and putting some music in there, but we're pretty happy with what we have so far.
Yeah, cool. It should, you know, I think Wasteland is another ideal place to show it.
Yeah, because the thing is, we'll be able to exchange with the fan afterwards. I mean, we're doing a public screening for the premiere, so there are places still available if people go on the website underthescares.com, because we want the fan to be there, because it's something for the fans. Of course, we'll have people there from the crew, some people that worked on the movie, but it's for the fans. So we want to be able to exchange with them, because they're the one making this industry possible, because they're so faithful and so into it. That's why we're making movie for them.
How big is the theater you're going to screen this in?
We'll be screening at the Tribeca Cinema in New York. It's 100 and how much, Steve? 100 and something seats?
130 place in the theater.
That'll go quick.
We hope so. We want a full house, and then we'll be partying and having some drinks until we can't or we get kicked out.
Yeah, because the goal of it after is to go to the bar next to the place and just network and talk with people and shake hands and rub shoulder, like you said, like you're going to hear yourself, Pete, in the documentary thing. And because a lot of people who's going to be there are from the industry. They're doing movies and stuff. So it's pretty cool just to hang out and talk with everybody. It's like at the convention. You know, a convention are really cool, but there are cooler, like better things after the show close, and you're going to the bar and you're grabbing a beer.
You exchange, you have fun, and you drink your ass off. That's what we want to do.
Well, that's every night for me. That's beside the point. I'm only kidding. I can't do it anymore.
Well, we know that
those days are gone. I mean, I overdo it at conventions for the simple reason that's where I do it. You know, it's a safe environment, and I can't go out and drive around.
Yeah, that's the only time.
So I can relive those golden days of yesteryear without killing myself and anybody else in the process.
But we do talk a little bit about the golden years of the 42nd Street. I mean, Frank and Water also talks about the days when he was a kid and going to the theater. And so even though we're not depicting the entire history of the horror films industry, I mean, we do talk a little bit about the grindhouse time, and you do also talk about it. And so I hope that people will just remember also this new vague, because ever since the grindhouse movie that Rodriguez put out a few years ago, I mean, it's the new trend. They want to do something grainy, grindhouse kind of movie, and I mean, it came from somewhere, and we just want that that time not to be forgotten too.
Yeah, it's funny because I get emailed, because you know the X-rated stuff that I put out, people go, oh, use a computer, get that effect, and I go, no, those films are that fucked up. And you know, people don't realize it, because I get this a lot, because people will go, well, how come you never said anything about this scene or that scene? I says, because it wasn't in there when I saw the movie, because you guys, like, they sort of forget that I actually saw it in a theater where they all saw it on DVDs and it's all been restored and stuff. There was stuff hacked out of just about everything I saw. But that's the way it was, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And maybe that's the way it's going to be. It's going to be with the documentary. I mean, we'll be doing the first screening, and then we'll see. Are we cutting stuff out? Are we putting some stuff back in? So we'll see, because it'll be an opportunity for us also to have the feeling of the crowd. I mean, did they like it? Is it too long, too short? I know that there's a lot of stuff that we want to put out later on, because there's a bunch of interview. The interview with Debbie Rochon is awesome. So I think that people and the fan of Debbie will probably want to get the entire interview. So we'll see on the DVDs or maybe on the web to have maybe extras of interviews of people that were in it that we had to cut out, because at some point we can't do something with 3 hour longs. But there is a lot of good stuff being said throughout the movie.
Well, it's like Herschel Gordon Lewis. You know, I remember when we were shooting the interview, I just forgot that we were shooting a film, because everything that he's saying is so intelligent and so helpful that I was sitting there and just listened to the guy, and I was like, oh, it's true. We have to ask questions, some stuff. You know, I'm not just watching a movie right now. I'm doing an interview, because everything he's saying, it's like, it's incredible. He's there since the beginning of the 50s, I think. I think Blood Feast was in 57?
No, Blood Feast was 63, I believe.
63? Okay.
Yeah.
So he saw everything, you know. And it's really funny, because when we did the interview, after the interview, he talked to us about the Red camera. And I was like, wow, he knew the technology even better than me. So I was like, wow.
Yeah, Mr. Lewis is still up to date, and the way he market Blood Feast back in the days is the same way that you should market your film today. I mean, he knows exactly how the business works.
And, yeah, ballyhoo.
Yeah, and it didn't change ever for the last 40 years. It's the same business. It works the same way. You have to market your stuff the same way that they used to do in the 60s and the 70s. So the business changed a lot because of the technology, but in the end, it's the same feel, it's the same way of work, and it's different, but it's still the same.
Yeah, well, you know what they did too? They took a negative and turned it into a positive. Like all the really bad reviews, they turned it around and it just drew more attention to it.
Yeah.
that's Herschel. You know, Herschel knew what he was doing. He was an ad man.
He still knows what he's doing. I mean, he's 80-something and he's still directing and he knows exactly where he's going and he's probably be able to do very well with the his next feature film.
Yeah, he's going to be up at Wasteland too.
Oh, cool! I know he's coming to Fantasia this morning, this summer for the Fantasia Film Fest, and we're trying to get featured there. So he'll be there, so that will be cool. And Frank will be there too.
Yeah. Oh, Frank Hanelotter?
Yeah,
he's going to be in Fantasia this summer.
Wow!
Because I don't know if it's he's featuring this, but he's doing a documentary on Herschel Gordon Lewis.
Okay. Right. So I just saw Bad Biology. He was down. I just saw him. I hadn't seen him in like quite a few years. We were talking. We were down at the Media Blaster store.
Okay.
Which, by the way, is open. Everybody. They just told me to tell everybody the Media Blaster store is open.
What's the address?
They got flooded out and they caught fire the next day. It was pretty bad.
Well, how did you like Bad Biology? Because I loved it. I saw it in Fantasia last year, 2 years ago for the premiere. And that was awesome. That was a very funny movie.
Oh, yeah. He ran it at the Pioneer, premiered down there. His buddy, Rugged Man, I guess the guy is. Yeah, he was down there talking about it. And I go, oh, tell Frank 42nd Street Pete said hi. And he goes, oh, you're real. I thought you were a fictional character. Motherfucker. So then I saw Frank and he goes, well, what do you expect? I said, yeah. I go, well, we were talking. You know, like I said, I hadn't seen him in quite a few years. So he's cool.
Oh, he's still doing well. I mean, he had the health problems during the shoot of Bad Biology. He had cancer and he was getting a chemo the morning before he went shooting. But he made it up and he's still doing well.
He had the same thing I had.
Oh, yeah? You had the same thing?
Yeah, I had prostate cancer. I almost died from complications with surgery. I had it taken out. He still got it. He said he was getting, I think he said radiation or something.
Okay.
Well, yeah, he was having radiation on the morning. He was drinking the Bad Biology, and people said, like, hey, man, we'll just, like, postpone the production of the movie. He said, no, we're good. We're done. We're ready.
Right.
So we'll just, like, I'll get through it. Don't worry about me, and we'll just shoot the movie. So he did the entire movie on chemios and radiation. So that's something.
He's probably the last of the old school directors, you know, that's still, you know, making stuff that works, you know, still viable. I can't think of anybody else who's still around anymore.
Corman?
Well, you know, Corman's just producing stuff, but, you know, as far as actually putting something out, because, you know, really, even when you think of the big guys, like what's Carpenter done lately or any of them guys? You know, it's sad. It really is.
They're getting old.
Yeah. And like I can get as old as I want. I'm eternal. But, you know, like, the problem is the people that are replacing them suck, you know?
Well, the thing is that right now they're just selling the rights of their films. So major studios doing remakes, so they're living on that, I think. Well,
they're going on sure shots. I mean, if the movie did well, like, 20 or 25 years ago, I mean, they'll presume they'll do well right now. But, I mean, I've seen last Friday the 13th and I wasn't impressed. I'm not that crazy about the new remakes and all the Asian movies that are put out that they're by the rights and they reproduce the movie. They're not as good as they were the original, even though they're recent movies. I mean, the feel is not the same.
No, I agree with you on that. I like to watch the Japanese and the Hong Kong stuff myself. I'd even watch it in the language because, you know, it's just something about the way they do things where you can basically figure out what's going on without even subtitles or having it translated into English.
Yeah, and there's a feeling about the movie, and it's something that when you remake the movie, it's not the same thing. I mean, there's the feelings are not the same, and it shows. I mean, when you see both productions, usually you go for the original version most of the time.
Yeah, it's true. The only thing I really did like, I don't know if you guys saw it yet, the Wolfman remake.
Nah, I didn't saw it.
No?
I haven't seen it yet, but soon maybe. So it's decent? Yeah.
I liked it. I'm a big fan of the original. They did a couple things to really tweak it up that didn't piss me off like remakes usually do.
Okay.
And, you know, what else was a plus was that Beneduccio is a real big fan of the Universal stuff, and he really wanted to do it right.
Okay.
Yeah, so yeah, I liked it. I actually liked it. It didn't hang around too long, but, you know.
Have you seen Nightmare on Elm Street?
No, I refuse. I'm sorry.
So you won't give it a chance?
No, I told too many people I would, and, you know, the internet's a real big place, and there are people out there who probably would beat the shit out of me if I went back on that, so I want to deal with that. I honestly don't understand that whole thing, because, you know, you can do it with Michael Myers because it's a guy with a mask. You can do it with Jason because it's a guy with the mask. You know, Freddy Krueger had a personality.
Yeah.
He just had that whole wise-ass thing going for him, and I just couldn't see the whole thing. I mean, if you're going to do it, give it back to Robert Englund. He ain't that fucking out of it, you know?
And yeah.
He would even need makeup now. So what
the hell? With the makeup. Otherwise, it's only makeup, so it even if he's wrinkled, it won't show. So,
yeah,
but
he's really, still... Yeah.
He's still doing a lot of stuff. So he stayed in the indie horror industry for ever since the beginning. I mean, he's still doing stuff. Last stuff I saw from him was Jack Brooks' Monster Slayer. Have you seen it?
No, that one I didn't see yet.
It's actually pretty good.
From Canada?
It's a Canadian film, yeah. But it got released with Anchorby, if I think.
I think they ran that down the Pioneer before it closed.
Maybe.
Yeah, because was Fangoria doing something with that? Were they backing that up? Or?
Well, I think so, because the movie made the cover of Fangoria maybe like a year, not 2 years ago. Hmm. Because I know that Tony and Michael, I think, saw the movie in Fantasia. And after that, maybe like 2 months after, so maybe in August 2008 or something like that, the movie was on the cover of Fango. So maybe they sponsored something and they did something with it.
Yeah, I think what they were doing was they put it in there, but it was like a free showing. They must have paid a fee to put it in there, and they have it like free to the public for a day or so. And the guy who managed it used to tell me, he goes, "All you get is these derelicts coming in here." So, yeah, that's probably what they were doing.
Yeah, it's possible. It's the kind of stuff that Fangoria will do sometime for movies in New York City, I think.
Yeah, well, what sucks now is there's nowhere to do it. I mean, you know, you found the one place over there. I mean, Chainsaw Kiss did it at the Anthology Film Archives. That was pretty decent, but there's not too many places left.
Well, actually, we look for both, and it was a question of money, but Tribeca was available, the archive also was available, so it's just have to look a little bit and scratch and call and ask, but it was possible to do a movie at both places. So yeah. And it's cool to do it at the Tribeca. I mean, there's an history there. So
yeah.
And it's very indie place. It's easy to get there. So we hope people like the place. And there's a lot of people from Montreal that will drive to go to the Tribeca Theater to see the premiere. And there are a bunch of French from the U.S. also driving. Mike and Amy, Mike Watts and Emiling Bess will be there too. So yeah, it should be a blast.
Jimmy O's going to be there too. Jimmy O in April is going to be there. And like a bunch of people from New York, Tony Temple, Michael Gingell. I think Debbie's going to be there. I hope Debbie's going to be there because she's doing a lot in the documentary. Well, everything she's saying is like pretty cool. So I'm wondering if she's going to be there or not, but I hope so. Rachel Robbins is going to be there.
Oh, she's cool.
Yeah. And she was in Bad Biology.
Yeah. Yeah.
One little scene.
You're going to be there, right?
I'm going to try to go over. I got a situation with my mother's in the hospital with a problem, but I'm going to try my best to make it and probably bring a couple of people. So save me a seat somewhere.
Sure. We will. Just let us know and we'll book you some place. And even for the editors, the people online, I mean, if you want some tickets, I mean, we'll keep you some seats.
Okay, cool.
Sure. Very and cool. Otherwise, afterwards, it's a beer time and a shooter time, and we'll just drink our ass off, and because it's part of the business. I mean, that's why I'm doing conventions, because doing conventions after conventions, after three, I mean, you've seen it all. I mean, it's basically same movies, same shit on the tables, so it's just it's family reunion, so you get there to see people and going at the bar and drink and have fun, and that's why we do that. I mean, it's a very friendly environment. I mean, people are going there, and then there's no rivalry between directors. There's no like, I are going to take some share of the market. No, it's just like, you do your stuff, I do my stuff. If we get to work together, yeah, that's fine. Otherwise, no problem. And it's very friendly, so it's pretty cool.
Did any of these cons ever give you any problems about shooting down there or anything? Because I know some of these guys all of a sudden, they're just, well, you can't do this, you can't do that. Well,
when you can't, you just don't tell them and you do it.
Well, we had problems with two cons. I don't know if I should.
Yeah, you can say it. It's a free flow.
Yeah.
Okay, well, Creation Entertainment just they want to charge us like $5,000 just to bring the camera in
to shoot for the Fango show.
And you shot there anyway. That's how we did my thing.
Yeah, exactly. So it's no hassle. And we had some problem too at, with the place where you used to hang out. Chiller. So yeah, but otherwise, I mean, we got in. We didn't get any problems. I mean, they're checking, but they're not checking that much. So it's just like, if you're going to ask, they'll try to make money on your back. But it's not that bad.
But Creation's always been horrible, though.
The smaller convention, like at Twisted Nightmare, Genghis Khan, and all stuff, they're just like they help us in the process. You know, when we the first one we did was Twisted Nightmare back at the time, and they just provide us a room, you know, and we can leave our equipment in there and just shoot the interviews there and all stuff. And after at Genghis Khan, it was the same thing. You know, Mike and Amy provide us some press pass to film, and it was the same thing at Monster Mania and Cinema Wasteland too. So I think that for a convention, for people, it's good just to let the filmmaker come in and just do their stuff when it's serious. But that's the thing.
Because we're actually doing publicity for them, so they're just stupid just to refuse, because we have a segment on conventions. So if you're going to ban us out, I mean, too bad, but don't think that we'll be like praying your convention. It's like, it was so awesome and blah, blah, blah. We're just like, screw you, and we'll just do it our friend.
Yeah, that's so what happened. I got pissed off. I said something about... I don't know. So most of the East Coast convention are turning into a bunch of bloated crack whores, and somebody really got pissed at me. And I said, "Well, that was the reaction I fucking wanted to begin with." You don't return emails. I'll tell you, it's sad because a lot of them, you know, the big three on the East Coast, as far as I'm concerned, they're dead. It's the same shit over and over again. It ain't even fun. Yeah, that's why I like Wasteland. Wasteland to me is worth the 8-hour drive. I don't care. It's just a fun show.
Yeah, well, at least Fango managed to be pulled out of Creation, so we'll see how the show will look for the next time, because they were fucked up with Creation. I mean, Creation took everything. I mean, they're sold to them. I mean, they were controlling everything. So even though we were friendly with Tony and Mike, I mean, they couldn't do anything for us to sneak in and get passes, press passes to do interviews and stuff like that. I mean, they were like, their hands were bound. So Creation was a pain, and I think that now they're out. The Fango show should be able to be more more fun and more entertaining.
Well, I,
at least I hope so, because it was the same for the last few years, and table were getting more expensive for traders, but services didn't change, so it was just like, well, we'll pay you extra, and you're just paying and paying, and it's the business was tough for the last few years. So I mean, you were just trying to make ends meet with your movie and try to get some buck to finance your next movie, and they're just like extra charging you for nothing. I mean, if you want electricity just to be able to plug a TV to show your movie, it's $150 extra. I mean, like, give me a fucking break. I mean, it's going to cost you like $5, so charge me 15, but not 150. So, I mean, they were tough on the people that was making them make money. So, at some point, it's be careful when you're going to backstab your own people.
Yeah, I don't know. I had said something to Tony and Mike at one point. I says, why don't you guys just run your own shows? I mean, you can do it. Well, you know, you got people you can count on. Hire some legit security. And do it the right way. I just think they got, they're too complacent where, they want somebody else to run the show and they get a cut of it. It don't work that way, because then you lose control of your own show.
Yeah, and creation is so big that they don't necessarily know exactly the feel of this industry, because it's different from it's similar to the sci-fi and the Comic-Con and stuff like that, but it's a bit smaller. So you don't handle it the same way that you do for a sci-fi show with like 50,000 people going in. So it's a different feel.
Yeah, you know what I tell people too? The big difference between horror conventions and sci-fi conventions is horror fans ain't got any fucking money, because we like this shit. That's why. We all work shitty jobs and we just like this stuff. It's, the sci-fi people are all tech people and stuff.
Yeah, so they all have like Mac laptops and stuff like that. So they have like money. So
it's just a comparison. I'm not ripping on anybody, but I just know, like, most of my friends, they're getting by, but they're so into this that they save up for it, because it's just worth doing, once a year, once or twice a year.
And that's what I said. I mean, people are coming in with a few hundred bucks in their pocket, and that's all they have. I mean, it's money they worked hard to get. So, but they're spending it on indie films. So that's why they very love what we do, and that's very fortunate for us, because they're very loyal to they're very loyal fan. They're loyal to the movie. So, and they'll be forgiving when you don't have that much budget to shoot. They'll be forgiving. If your son isn't that good, he'll say, but I had fun watching the movie. They're not like always picking on the movies. So like, the sound was bad. The camera movement were sketchies. And no, they're just, I loved it. And I got boobs. And that was the werewolf. And that was bloody. And that was disgusting. And they're just there for that. And that's they're awesome for that. When they're not psychos, it's awesome. Because, I mean, for me, which I'm not a big horror fan, I mean, I got into the business almost by mistake, because I used to do some special effect, and that's how I got into the business. And the first trade show I saw, I mean, I got people coming in with their kids. The kids was like years old, and they had like a Jason mask on their face of the kids. And I said, like, whoa, man, that's fucked up. I mean, who the hell are those kind of people? And it's not the majority of them, but there's a bunch of them. I mean, I've seen guys like, can you sign the DVD? Yeah, but the chicks isn't in the movie. Sign it. I mean, they're so eager to see skins and girls beside their mom and their sisters that sometimes they just go crazy when you got a chicks at the table just to sell your DVD and help you out. And just sign it. She's not in it. Sign it anyway. Can I get a picture with her? Hey, whatever, man. Whatever suits you, and get them. We'll take 5 pictures with her if you want.
You're right about that, because I brought my kids up to a Wasteland. They came up on an Amtrak late at night, and I put them by the table, and I didn't have to do anything. Don't buy any piece of shit that I put out there for $5, as long as they were there.
Yeah, no. So it is a family event. I mean, people are coming in, and it's like they coming along with kids and stuff like that. And there's no problem. There's no problem with that. I mean, it's just, but it's odd, because you see like knives with blood on the tables, and they're going with their kids, and it's normal. It's kind of like going at the zoo.
Hey, what the hell? What'd they say? The family that slays together stays together.
Yeah, you can say that.
Yeah.
So yeah, so we with this movie we should go back to do the run with the convention with screening of the documentary. So yeah, no, it's gonna be fun.
Yeah, it definitely will be.
Yeah,
so I hope I can get over there. Just hope this clears up. But I definitely want to go. But I will do my best.
Yeah,
and I will drag my kids. I will drag my kids because they're hot and people like them. So it'll be.
And it's good to get chicks.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Oh,
I never got chicks in this. I never got any chicks in this business.
Yeah, well, there's not that much.
Well, you know, the whole deal is you guys are being serious filmmakers and shit like that, and I'm being 42nd Street Pete. And what does he do? He puts out porn. So. But I put out great, you know, retro shit. People seem to like it. Then, you know what it is? I think with women with me, they confuse the gimmick with the real guy. Well, pretty much you guys know it ain't too far from the truth. You know, when I'm drinking up there, what the fuck, you know?
Yeah, but we're all drinking. I mean, the interview I did with Debbie the night before, man, God, I got wasted like I never got wasted before. I mean, I was still cross-eyed when I did my interview with Debbie. I mean, Debbie was a pearl. She was awesome. Then the interview went super smooth, but I was so fucked up from the night before. That was something. And that's how it's usually always end when you're going to convention and you stick around. I mean, you get to meet people and you get to you befriend with a lot of them. I mean, Mike and Amy, Mike Watts and Amy Lynn they're very good friends of ours, and we just met them doing the documentary, and we just interviewed them as filmmakers and producers, and we started hanging out, and they asked us to help them out on their last feature film, Demon Divas and the Lane of Damnation. So they said, like, we don't have that much money, but we'd love to work with you. So we drove down to Pittsburgh and we stayed there for 2 weeks and we shot with them. So that's, and everything started with the documentary. We just became friends with them. And it's the same thing when we went to New York 2 weeks ago. We went and had lunch with Michael Gingles. So it's a very, very friendly business. So it's cool.
Oh yeah, that's right. I met you guys at Genghis Khan.
Yep. Yeah,
we were doing that whole.
Yeah, and we were in the beginning in the process of shooting this documentary because we shot a lot of stuff, and it was hard to put everything together in a short lapse because we went to After Dark Films in LA, so for a special events that we missed because we were supposed to be there for the premiere of Captivity, but we missed the premiere party because our flight got delayed, and then we went to Genghis Khan, so we had to wait a lot of months in between shoots, so that's why the entire project took like 3 years to put together.
Well, actually, we shot that. The first time we shot was in Twisted Nightmare in 2006. And the last interview we did was last October with Kurtzman and Jones. So it took like 4 years of shooting in different cities to make the documentary. So we'll see what happened in a week.
Oh, yeah. Well, it looks good, gentlemen. It looks really good. Todd, how much time we got? Lighter.
Hey, we are. Looks like we've got about. If you wanted to cover about another 3 minutes, we're good.
Okay.
Okay.
Do you have any tricky questions?
Tricky questions?
No. I love tricky questions.
Okay. What's the name of the bar next to the place that we're going to be getting drunk at?
I think we're going to go to the Tribeca Tavern.
Oh, is that like a real huffy up bar? Because I know a really shitty bar on the Lower East Side that's a great place to hang out.
It's pretty shitty, and it's just two corner from the theater, so it's...
It is a shitty bar?
It's quite shitty. Oh, it's not shitty, but it's not...
It's a tavern, so...
In other words, they're not going to charge us like $15 for a Corona or something ridiculous like that.
No. We went there to... we went there to drink a lot of beer the last time we went to New York, because we went to New York to check out the theater and to walk around the bar just around that... the cinema, and we went there, and I think it was like a pitcher was like $12, so it's not so bad, I think, for New York.
We should be able to drink our ass off without putting an extra mortgage on our arses.
And
because I remember we went to this one place after Unconventional, and I go up to the bar and I go, "Let me have a Corona, please." And they go, "It'll be $15." I'm like, "Drink it yourself."
Well, actually, we almost ended up in the a bubble bar, which is a champagne bar. The place was awesome, but they were charging like $3,000 for the place. Right, yeah. So, like, that would have been great, but we can't afford. We just shot a movie, so thanks, but no thanks.
And for the people who's going to come to the premiere, too, the bar of the Tribeca Cinema is going to be open at 6:30 p.m., so people can come earlier, grab a beer next door, and just an hour after, just go in the cinema and watch the film. So that's pretty cool.
And we'll be there. The best part is, bars in New York don't close till 4 o'clock.
Yeah, that's cool. So we should be able to close the place. I mean, there's no reason why I'm not going to close the place.
Well, you're staying over there, aren't you?
Yeah. We'll be staying for the entire weekend.
Okay. Yeah, I got to drive home. That sucks if I do this. I got to rig something up here.
Sub? There's no sub? There's a.
No, I don't do it. I don't do that. If you're drunk and confused on the subways, you can really get fucked, you know?
And you live there, imagine, for us. So,
I really tried to avoid the subways. I used to just drive around.
Okay. Really?
Because I always had shitty cars. I didn't give a shit what happened to them, you know?
That's the thing.
Yeah.
Japanese.
That was the reason. Back then, you went down to subway, you were taking your life in your hands. You drove around, you'd run over some drunk and, you know, get yelled at. Who cared, you know?
We checked it last time, so because we went out at like 3:30 from the Tribeca Taverns, and it wasn't that bad in the metro, so everything was cool in the sub. No problem, no gutsing, no crazy people, so that was cool.
I don't really have it now, I'm just going back in the day, but I never really had any use for that whole thing, except when I was working at Liquidators, if it was raining, I'd take it, but otherwise, it was a leisurely mile stroll, it kept me in good shape.
Sure. So we'd like people to just come and talk to us. I mean, and talk to the people, even the people from the that we're going to interview in the documentary. I mean, I want people to come and talk to them because they'll be happy to talk to you about the movie and their experiences. And it's going to be a party. So it's not a premiere. It's a party. So that's all it is.
Yeah, so come on down. It's next Saturday. The movie starts at 7:30?
7:30.
And then the after party just keeps on going until everybody just, you know, gets thrown out of the bar at 4 o'clock.
Exactly.
So that's the way it's going to be. So, guys, thank you very much for coming on. I hope to get over there and see this. And I know we'll be hanging out at Wasteland.
We will, for sure.
Yes, we will, for sure.
This is going to be a real cool thing. So we're going to catch you over there.
Yeah,
cool.
Looking forward to see you next Saturday, Pete.
Me too.
All right. For all the fans out there that want to come to the premiere, it's you can book some seats at underthescares.com. So it's pretty quick. It's pretty quick and it's pretty easy.
Okay, that wraps it up for this week. And that was one hell of a little interview there. And I hope everybody tries to get out and see this film. And if you can't get out and see it when the DVD comes out, buy it. It's a cool little thing. This is 42nd Street Pete saying stay sick.
Second Street Pete's Grindhouse is a production of Jackalope 105 FM.
Do you feel that? Oh, shit. Wah-ah-ah-ah. Get up, come on, get down with the sickness. Get up, come on, get down with the sickness. Get up. Come on, get down with the sickness. Open up your hate and let it flow into me. Get up, come on, get down with the sickness. You mother, get up, come on, get down with the sickness. You fucker, get up, come on, get down with the sickness. Madness is the gift that has been given to me. I can see inside you the sickness is rising. It seems that all that was good has died. Oh no, the world is a scary place. Now that you've woken up the demon in me.
Bobby, will you give it to me?
2, 3, 4. Get up, come on, get down with the sickness. You mother, get up, come on, get down with the sickness. You fucker, get up, come on, get down with the sickness. Open up your hate and let it flow into me. Why can't you just fuck up and die? Get down with the sickness. Fuck you, I don't need this shit. I'm down with the sickness. You stupid, sadistic, abusive fucking organ. Down with the sickness. Here it comes. Get ready to die. Get ready to
die. Come on, here we go again, motherfucker, yeah, yeah, yeah. Come on down and see the idiot right here, too fucked to beg and not afraid to care. What's the matter with calamity anyway? Right, get the fuck out of my face. Understand I can't feel anything, it isn't like I want to sift through the decay. I feel like a wound, like I got a fucking gun against my head. You live when I'm dead. People equals shit. People equals shit. People equals shit. People equals shit. Come on. Me now, so fuck it. Blood on my face and my hands, I don't know why. I'm not afraid to cry, but that is none of your business. Overdo it, don't tell me you blew it. Stop your bitching and fight your way through it. I'm not like you, I just fuck up. Come on, motherfucker, everybody has to die. People equal shit. People. People